faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the show which helps you lead where God has placed you. I'm Andy Peck. It's very hard to be an effective leader without being a decent speaker. Many leaders will have to give presentations and talks to co-workers, customers, clients and congregations. Sometimes a capacity to connect with people overcomes failings at speaking, but for most leaders, delivering talks that are engaging is a key part of their work. So how can we communicate better? Well, I'm joined this week by a man who speaks for a living as a motivational speaker, giving talks to groups as diverse as the Yorkshire Bank, Specsavers, the NHS and the BBC. His name is Lee Jackson. He's based in Leeds in the north of England. And as well as giving talks himself, he also trains and coaches individuals and groups in how to speak and present. He's written a number of books, including Get Good at Presenting, PowerPoint Surgery, The Business of Professional Speaking, and a timely book for this time of year, Getting Your Teenager Through Their Exams. So as a course presenter myself, I'm looking forward to learning something of the craft of communication. So welcome, Lee, to the Leadership File.
Thank you, Andy.
Good to have you with us. Now, you cut your presenting teeth, as it were, in youth work. Was that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I sort of became a schools worker by accident and did lots of stuff around schools in and around Leeds and really enjoyed that and used to do lots of youth events and stuff. And so, yeah, I guess young people are probably the hardest audience. So I kind of learnt the hard way, I think, in my early days. And I really loved that. It was a great time. I did 14 years of that.
Yeah, you very kindly sent me a couple of your books ahead of this conversation, and I was fascinated by one which talked about a mobile phone that went off in a assembly or a RE lesson or whatever that you were doing.
Yeah, I wasn't doing a big talk, a motivational talk in a school, and it was one of the tougher schools in the north, like a real tough failing school, inverted commas, you know, and some really challenging kids in the audience. And one of them was, they were stood there, the one lad was in the middle aisle with his kind of like his legs stretched out with his arms folded, looking like he didn't want to be there. And then all of a sudden his mobile phone went off. So so I thought, what do I do here? You know, this is the fun of being a speaker.
Yeah.
So I answered it and I went up to him and I said, excuse me. And I just picked up his phone and I said, he can't speak to you right now, mate, because he's listened to a really good talk that's going to help him with his school. and he looked kind of shocked. And then the phone rang back again, because I think his mate on the other end of the phone,
yes,
obviously thought it was some kind of prank or something.
Yeah.
And I said, no, really, he's listening to a motivational speaker that's going to help him get good results at school. And so I did it, and he eventually switched his phone off. And the teacher said to me afterwards, he said, that's one of the best things that's ever happened, Lee. He said, as soon as you answered his phone, everybody listened to you for the rest of the talk there. Yeah. You know, you could hear a pin drop kind of thing, he said.
No, well, it's brilliant improvisation, so nice one. So, I mean, what took you into presenting work? You've been a youth worker for a while, Lee. What was the catalyst?
Yeah, well, I was in youth work and stuff, and that, when that came to an end, really, I sort of thought, what do I do best? What have people validated me in? Because that's a really important leadership thing, isn't it, Andy, that you...
Yeah.
Actually, you know, when people validate you, they say to you, you're really good at that. You should always listen. Because sometimes we think we're good at something and we're not, you know. You know, I play basketball, but I know I'm not very good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't want to ever become a basketball player. But, you know, I do that as a hobby. But people said to me, oh, you're a great communicator. That talk helped me. And I had that kind of sort of realization, really. And I sat down and I thought, I wonder if someone will pay me to speak? Is there such an industry? Because I just didn't know.
Yeah.
So I just Googled it, and 10 years later on, I'm a motivational speaker and presentation coach, and last year was the president of the Professional Speaking Association in the UK and Ireland, which is, again, is something that just came into my lap, really. So I guess, yeah, I've worked out you can make a living from it, and people do buy speakers, and they do want presentation coaches. Because once I became a speaker, then I naturally became a presentation coach, because people used to ask me, my clients used to say, I don't suppose you could come in and sort of teach my staff how to speak like that, could you? You know.
Great. And I mean, you're happy to be on, obviously, Premier Christian Radio, but most of your clients are on what we call the business world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm a leader in my local church and enjoy that, and have spoken at lots of Christian events over the years. But I do very little of that now, and I'm definitely kind of in the business world and in the public sector world too. And just I enjoy that process of being a leader. I think right at the outset, you know, your whole thing is being a leader where you're planted, isn't it? Where you're placed, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Is I'm trying to bring good quality stuff, well-researched information that helps people's lives and changes them, and that's what I'd love to do. It. So I don't talk about my faith from the stage very often, because I'm not paid to do that. If you understand.
Yes, quite.
But obviously in interactions and in, you know, with people off the stage, I have lots of opportunities to share my life and my faith, and I enjoy that part too.
So in your book, Get Good at Presenting, you look at the three areas of presentation, and I was fascinated by that and a little surprised as well. But you can tell us what the three areas are.
Yeah, well, any presentation coach, anyone who teaches that, they'll make something else up. But basically, they cover preparation of material, delivery of that material, and then anxiety. Dealing with your anxiety, and I worked that out pretty quickly after doing a few of these sessions, that everybody, any question that anyone ever asks me always falls into those three categories. And so I decided to my courses are run in those three categories, and my whole book is written in three sections, because it just makes sense. Because I tend to sort of, my style is, you know, I'm kind of northern, I call it northern motivation, you know, that I'm kind of like, you know, I do it, you know, I do what it says on the tin, you know. So yeah. We need to prepare, we need to deliver, we need to deal with our anxiety. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Preparation and delivery it all makes sense. It was just the anxiety bit. I thought, yeah, you're absolutely right, although I wouldn't necessarily have put it as a category. So let's look at the preparation side. And I was fascinated again, you're not a fan of lined paper.
Yes, no, I don't... I don't have a particular problem with the lined paper industry as such. I just think it's really bad for the way your brain works.
Yeah.
So if you're taking notes at a conference, then feel free to use lined paper. If you're in a lecture, then if you want to use lined paper, feel free. But when you're planning a talk, it's the world's worst thing. Because what your brain does, you know, the amazing brain that we have, is it starts to want to put things in order. So our brain gets more concerned about the order of things than the creative process. So if you're preaching or you've got a business presentation to do, you want to be on a blank piece of paper or a flip chart or a whiteboard. That I've got a big whiteboard in my office, and you want to map it out non-linear, not in lines, so that you get all the information out onto the page so you can prepare it. And lined paper just makes our brain get kind of stuck. That's how I think it. Your brain's just thinking, oh, no, I'll start with that. And then you start putting arrows and asterisks and stuff like that. When actually, if you do that or even use post-it notes, it becomes much freer and you'll find that your creativity flows much more.
Yeah. And obviously, you can then rearrange the post-it notes according to the direction of your talk, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Post-it notes are fantastic. They're cheap. You know, I go to a pound shop, they'll cost about a pound. I'm not sure. I'm just checking. But that's one of my favourite jobs. One of my favourite hobbies is going into pound shops and asking how much things cost. quite enjoy. Yeah, I don't get out very much, Andy. You know what I mean? So, but basically, you kind of, you know, just put them on a post-it note. Every little idea that you have is with a marker pen and a post-it note, and then you can just move them around. It's just a really creative way. And then you let the ideas flow, and then you can think, oh, I'll start with that, and you just move a post-it note. It's a very common technique that works brilliantly when I've used it.
Now, a very helpful idea you had, which you took from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, was that concept of beginning with the end in mind. Talk about that in terms of preparation.
Yeah, I think most of your listeners will have been in really boring talks at some point. So whether that's in business, at a conference, you know, at a youth work conference or a church conference or something, they'll have heard a boring presentation. And a boring presentation is because somebody tells you everything they know about that particular subject. So what happens is they just, you know, because they just say, I'm going to talk about this subject. Say it's friendship. You know, the name of the talk is about friendship. And they just tell you everything they know about friendship. They don't ask the question, what do I want to achieve by doing this talk? What do I want people to walk away with? Because I'm sorry to say that anyone who's a speaker who's listening, people might only walk away with one thing after an hour's talk, or even maybe three things after a day's of training. So you've got to decide early on, what do you want them to walk away with? And if you don't decide that, that's why you get death by PowerPoint. That's why you get a boring talk, because the presenter doesn't know what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah. And that obviously goes for presentations, it goes for talks to shareholders, but it also goes for preaching as well in church.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, if your job is to do Philippians 2 that day, then you don't tell them everything in Philippians 2. You do an overview, and then you tell them the one thing that they can put into practice that day or that morning. That's what makes the difference. It's about cutting to the chase and understanding that people will not understand everything you say. They will not take in everything you say. I'm sorry to be that bearer of bad news, but that's just the reality. That's just how the human brain works, you know?
Yeah. Well, as I say, I'm going to urge listeners to get a copy of Get Good at Presenting, because you've got much more stuff on preparation there. But when it comes to delivery, I mean, I think the first thing to talk about is many people have a script, because that, for them, helps with the anxiety levels, because they think, well, if I've got every word correct, then I can read it, even if I get nervous. Any thoughts on scripted talks versus using notes versus no notes at all?
You have to become a real expert at delivering a scripted talk. And people can do that, but they're very few and far between. People script a talk usually because of anxiety. So it then goes into the third section. If you can deal with your anxiety, you might feel more able not to script a talk.
Right.
Now, I don't script my talks at all, but what I do is I have little scripted, what I call chunks in the book. So I talk about you. Every post-it note is a chunk of your talk, because a talk is never a full thing. A talk really is a few chunks of ideas. That's what I think of it as. So what I do is I practice little chunks, or learn little 2-minute bits or little phrases that would be useful. But then I trust myself to join the dots, and I trust myself to be a little bit free flowing. You know, what if you, in the middle of a talk, a really great story comes into your mind? If you're scripted, you can never tell that story.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes, you know, bad stories come into our mind and we end up going down a cul-de-sac. You know, we don't want that. But sometimes some of my best stuff has come from me being live. Do you know what I mean? And it's as simple as that. I suddenly think, wow, I'll tell that story. And then I've told that story now forever. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's, I saw Ken Dodd do that. You know, the comedian Ken Dodd?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
He was one of my favourite comedians. He passed away a few weeks ago. And he obviously it was doing this job for like 50, 60 years or whatever it was. But I noticed that his drummer had a notepad. And so he had a little band, you know, there's three blokes in a band, a very old fashioned kind of thing. And I noticed that in the middle of his talk, when he did a joke that was new to him, he turned around and he nodded at his drummer. And I saw his drummer write down his new joke.
Oh, wow.
so even Ken Dodd was doing stuff in the moment.
Gracious.
But he needed someone to record it. It was quite funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Lee Jackson. Lee's a motivational speaker. We're looking at how do you present a talk? How do you deliver material? We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Lee Jackson. Lee's a motivational speaker based in Leeds, particularly doing presentations and talks within the business world. He's a former youth worker. We're talking particularly about how you deliver talks, you make presentations. In Lee's book, Get Good at Presenting, he particularly looks at the three areas, preparation, delivery and anxiety. Just before the break, we were in the sort of delivery section looking a little bit at whether talks should be scripted or not. Lee, some who are speaking regularly to the same congregation based on a Bible passage, I'm wondering to what extent they should adjust your general advice. You would adjust your general advice for preachers.
I have taught church leaders, and I've got a thing coming up actually in the summer with some other church leaders. I've taught a few of them, and also groups of vicars. I'm not quite sure what a collective group of vicars is called, a gaggle of vicars
gaggle
or something.
Vicars,
I don't know. But basically, the same principles apply.
Right.
You've got to know what you're going to say. You've got to know what you want people to walk away with. And you need to sift the information.
Yeah.
So my thing is a speaker is a filter. So the reason that TED Talks, if you go to TED.com, there's thousands of talks. Mm. The reason that they've become really popular, I reckon, Andy, is that they are experts that have cut to the chase, experts that have actually allowed themselves to say, what's the one thing I want people to walk away with? And I think that's really important for preachers. It depends on whether you're a thematic preacher, doesn't it, or an expository preacher. I guess that makes a difference. But ultimately, you know, if you're a preacher, you want someone to walk away with something that's going to be life-changing.
Yeah.
So you need to decide what that's going to be, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, I guess listeners will, they'll listen to either, you know, pretty good preaching or sometimes, sadly, pretty dire preaching. And I have as a lecturer in the preaching art, I'm very aware. People tell me just how bad the standard preaching is. So I think just the simple principles that you've suggested, I think, could aid a lot of people in better communications. Lee, you talk about anxiety in your book. From time to time, a leader will have to give a talk that they know really matters. So it may be a fundraising, announcing a new direction, addressing an issue that requires clarity, and the anxiety increases. So talk to us about the anxiety levels in communicating, particularly the key messages that leaders need to use.
Yeah, I think every talk, you know, a talk doesn't happen in a vacuum, does it? Mm. You know, even us in the studio now, we're not, you know, this isn't a vacuum. There's a connection here. There's a purpose for it. Every talk has a context. And I think those contexts affect your anxiety, I reckon. So, you know, if you're doing a talk to maybe 10 people that you know quite well, that can be a chat and can be quite a relaxed thing. If you're suddenly in an arena like I've done, you know, when I used to be in my band days, you can suddenly be in front of 10,000 people. So your anxiety levels are going to rise up, you know, or if it's more important, your anxiety levels will rise up too. So I think it's all about the context of what you're doing. But the most important thing about anxiety, and this is kind of non-clinical anxiety, this is talk-related anxiety. I'm not a mental health expert, so I don't want to do that. But basically, it's about having a poor routine.
Right.
Because, you know, when you got up this morning, Andy, you got up and I'm hoping that you cleaned your teeth. Now, that's a routine that you have. It's just that you're not aware that you have it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get up and you clean your teeth
and
you just get on with your day.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Shower as well.
So, sorry, go on.
A shower as well, indeed, yes. Yeah, so,
oh, well, well done. Now, I didn't want to be too personal, Andy, but yes. But, I mean, basically, it's that kind of thing, isn't it, that we all have routines, we're just not aware of them.
Yeah.
And someone who's anxious before a talk often has a bad routine that they're not aware of. So what I teach in the medium to long term with my clients is teach them a better routine. So if you've got a bad thought pattern, you think everyone's going to kill me, you know, it's going to be a terrible talk, I've never done a good talk in my life, and you start with negative kind of self-talk, then it's most likely it's going to be a poor talk, you know. So we need to get our thought patterns right. We need to be in a good place when we're presenting so that we can deliver in the best way that we can and also in the most authentic way, because anxiety can make us less authentic. It can make us nervous and be jumping around the place and, it, you know, we become a slightly different person.
Yeah.
The key is to have a good routine and develop good routines that make us less anxious.
And I was encouraged, if I may say so, to hear you say at times you still have times of anxiety. You have to work on your own self-talk in different circumstances.
Oh, gosh, yeah, all the time, yeah. If it's something that I've delivered 100 times and it's a fairly standard audience that I'm used to, maybe a school or, you know, a leader's audience that's not too big or something, then I'll probably just get up and do it, you know. But if it's something new or new material or a different audience or, you know, maybe they're even paying me a bit more, that can bring some pressure, yeah, you know. Yeah. That actually, I've got to still deal with my head. So I have lots of different techniques to get myself in the right place, really.
Yeah. And say a few words about PowerPoint slides. You hinted at death by PowerPoint, and I guess most listeners will be familiar with that. They've sat through pretty dull things. So a few points you got some very helpful insights, both in your Get Good at Presenting, but obviously particularly in your book on PowerPoint.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a thing called cognitive load theory. So cognitive load theory means that if you have a complicated slide with lots of bullet points and lots of information on behind you and you're speaking at the same time, a cognitive load, we can't handle that. So you're better it's better for you to speak or let people read your slides. They can't do both at the same time.
Right, yes.
And the research shows, Andy, that it actually becomes a worse and less effective presentation if you're forcing that on people.
Yeah.
So the simple solution to that is to ditch the bullet points, because it's not death by PowerPoint, it's death by bullet point on the whole. You know, ditch those bullet points and make your slides big and bold and image-based, because then they become a backdrop to your talk, not actually your talk.
Right, right.
The world's worst talk is somebody turning their back and reading from their slides.
Yeah.
And I'm sad to say that that still happens, both in the business world and in the church world, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. We've great opportunities these days, Lee, to view gifted speakers online. And I'm just wondering if there are some presenters you'd encourage listeners to seek out, either at YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's hundreds there. What I'd do is, rather than recommend something, I'd recommend a couple of different things.
Okay.
One is that when you're learning speaking, listen to people for technique, not for content.
Okay.
So listen to people that you disagree with, but you think are a good speaker.
Mm.
So there's a very famous clip of Margaret Thatcher doing her The Ladies Not For Turning clip.
Right, yeah.
Now, that is great to watch because she, you know, is someone who was quite a Marmite kind of character back in those days. But watch how she presented that and, you know, watch that. Martin Luther King is great to watch. You know, he almost sings when he speaks. So watch people and watch people don't just watch local preachers and people that you know, but watch people you disagree with for their content. The other thing I would really advise people to do is to watch lots of comedy.
Right.
Because comedians, it's like speaking, but like really intense speaking.
Yeah.
So comedians have got all the techniques and they do it really well. Now, you might not agree with what the comedian's saying, or you might, you know, their language might be a bit choice or something, but sometimes it's good to watch their technique and learn from that. But of course, the Christian world, the church world, has some of the world's best communicators.
Yeah.
So there'll be plenty of good people out there to watch and to listen to. And of course, YouTube is just amazing. The problem is that the main thing about watching somebody else is watch their technique and learn from that. But never forget that you are called to be you. And I'm Lee Jackson, and that's who I'm called to be. So I should never be Martin Luther King or Ken Dodd or Tony Campolo or anybody else that you might think of. You know, that's not who I am. I am me.
Yeah,
and so learn the skills, but they make sure that you stay yourself.
Fabulous. Well, just to reassure listeners that you've got tons of stuff in your book. So, how can people get in touch with your books and get in touch with you?
Yeah, all my books are available from the normal kind of places online and various places. But my website has got all my details and loads of YouTube clips, loads of free stuff on there. So it's leejackson.biz. That's LeeJackson.biz, leejackson.biz. You can go there and you can get my YouTube clip. You can connect with me on social media and you can get loads of free stuff. And also there's a shop there which has the links to all my books, which are on ebook and everything else. And so thank you, Andy. It's been great, and I just hope I've been some help to your listeners out there.
Very much. Well, you've modelled good presenting in this show, so thank you so much for being my guest. So you've been listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined this week by Lee Jackson. His website, again, is leejackson.biz. You can find some of the books I would recommend. As I said, Lee very kindly sent me a copy of his books, Get Good at Presenting and PowerPoint Surgery, and I enjoyed those enormously, and that's going to help me in my work. So trust this will be of help and blessing to you, whatever kind of talks and presentations you need to do as part of your leadership world. So thank you, Lee.
My pleasure, Andy. Anytime.
And thank you for listening. Do log on to Premier's website, listen to archived versions of The Leadership File, go to the shop and get The Leadership Road Less Travelled, the book that I've written connected to this particular show. And do join us again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.